sorry. I'm at the ticker waiting for some news. I'll call later. Thank you. Howdy, boy.
Yes, Mr. Thomas.
What's wrong with the ticker? No news coming in.
No news is good news, Mr. Thomas.
Not for a commentator, it isn't. I've got to get some news someplace.
Well, look out the window, sir. Something may be happening in the street.
Anything will help. Come in.
Good evening, Paul.
Ah, H.B. Galtenborn. Sit down, H.B. Have you got any news?
News? Well, really, Paul. Does Macy sell symbols?
This is serious, H.B. The ticker has stopped. What can I do for my broadcast?
Tell them to listen to H.B. Galtenborn.
H.B., we commentators should do something about Sunday. Nothing ever happens.
That's true. No international trouble. There's no news from Washington.
On Sunday, Washington is an empty city.
Yes, everybody's in Missouri for the weekend.
What are we going to do for news? What are we going to use for news anyhow?
Well, just to rehash some old items. Something on the Greek boat to bring back King George.
Maybe they'll have another boat to bring back part of your carcass.
That would be news.
The ticker. Something is coming in.
What is it?
Yeah, this is news. It says, tonight, October 6th, the Allen program comes back on the air.
Allen, back on the air?
That's right.
Is he filled with Joe Pearson?
No, H.B. This is Fred Allen, the comedian.
The comedian? On the radio?
You look amazed, H.B. What's wrong?
You mean when we go off the air, other people come on?
Of course. Fred Allen is on the air every Sunday night. He has millions of listeners.
Incredible. You think Dick Allen is not a commentator, and yet people listen to him?
They have no choice, H.B. People have to listen to something when we're not on the air.
What type of program does Dick Allen attempt?
Well, he has a fine company of artists with him. Al Goodman and his orchestra generally start the program with a big musical opening. Well, H.B., what did you think of that?
Magnificent, Lord. Now, that was a fine program. Not too long, and yet in excellent taste.
H.B., that was just the beginning.
There's more to come?
Yes. There's that ticker again.
What does it say?
Mr. Allen's program this season will again present Portland.
But Portland's a large city. Portland's an entire metropolis to the microphone.
This Portland is a little girl who discusses the week's events with Mr. Allen. You can always tell it's Portland when you hear...
Mr. Allen!
Well, Portland...
This is a surprise.
It's a
surprise to see you, too.
Really? Surprise?
After last year, Mama didn't think you could get back on the radio again.
She didn't. Well, now look, Alka-Seltzer gets back on the air every year. Anderson gets back. Aspirin gets back. Why shouldn't I get back?
That's what Mama says.
What?
When you get back, people need Alka-Seltzer, Anderson, and Aspirin.
Something tells me you've been listening to the radio all summer.
Yes, there's a new hay fever program on. It has a slogan.
What is the hay fever slogan?
If your nose closes up tonight, how are you going to smell tomorrow?
Never mind tomorrow, Portland. What about tonight? What's new tonight?
The paper says Japanese money has gone down.
Japanese money?
The yen is barely emerged.
The yen is barely emerged.
Excitement
in Hollywood. Everybody's jumping. Oh, I saw that.
I read that Humphrey Bogart must out of a window yesterday and scared 200 tickets away from Warner Brothers.
Humphrey Bogart. Then the Warner Brothers looked out and scared the life out of Bogart.
There's no excitement in Brooklyn.
No, not anymore. The tree that grows in Brooklyn is a weeping willow. Culture has suffered a death blow.
Culture in Brooklyn?
Yes, I know a lady in Brooklyn who has culture. She's making yogurt out of it.
Well, H.B., how did you like their comedy?
I can't get over that office, you know. It is my opinion, and you can quote me, Lowell, Mr. Goodman's orchestra is the quintessence of symphonic art.
But what about Alan?
Frankly, Lowell, any man who talks for 2 minutes without even quoting one reliable source, it is inconceivable.
There's the picker again. Say, this is good news. Alan again brings to the air the famous Alan's Alley.
He actually broadcasts from an alley?
Yes, he does.
No, is that sanitary?
Well, the network censor keeps it that way. Every week. Every week, Alan asks his friends in Alan's Alley a vital question.
I wonder what his first question is going to be.
I have it right here. This week, the New York Department of Health sanctioned the selling of horse meat in New York City. The question tonight is, what is your reaction to the sale of horse meat? I wonder what will happen in the alley tonight.
It's good to get back to Allen's Alley, Portland. I wonder how Senator Claghorn... Say, there's a new name on his first shanty, Ajax Cassidy. Let's find out who Cassidy is.
Oh, how do you do?
I see you're fine, Mr. Cassidy. How are you?
Oh, terrible. I was sick. Some days I don't sleep for 3 nights at a time. I think I'm getting a chronic carborundum of my cephalopathy cat.
They sound painful.
Painful? Oh, my, some nights the pain is so bad, I have to put on 2 men to yell for me. I'm not going for this one.
Tell me, Mr. Cassidy, how do you feel about eating horse meat?
No, it's a funny thing, but I think I ate some last night.
Really? Where?
At the policeman's semi-annual beefsteak and ball down at Tilhuri's Grotto.
I see.
The committee was Callahan, Mulligan, Houlihan, and Shapiro.
What was Shapiro doing in there?
He's a smiling Irishman. That's his right name.
Well, tell me, what happened at the policeman's ball?
The boy was still dressing in the decent and orderly fashion.
I see.
When all of a sudden the door opened.
Uh-huh.
A fellow sticks in his head.
Uh-huh.
And he yelled, three cheers for Neville Chamberlain.
Cheers for Neville Chamberlain.
Oh, life was off, but the bedlam broke out with pandemonium. The air was filled with knuckles and bridgework. Picture of Barry Fitzgerald fell off the wall.
Oh, well, this is all mighty exciting, Mr. Cassidy, but what makes you think you ate horse meat at the policeman's feast then?
Well, before the dinner, 20 mounted cops galloped up to the bar.
And after dinner?
The 20 mounted cops walked home pedestrian.
That's good enough for me. Let's try this next door.
Hurry, Bob.
Well, where's the moody? Say, your clothes are dripping there. What's wrong?
Oh, a city fella, give me one of them pens and write on the water.
Oh.
I've been down in the well writing a letter.
Tell me, did you have a good summer?
Oh, I didn't do nothing. No, just lot of ducking around.
You didn't go away?
I went out twice. Once to a gander pulling.
A gander pulling?
Once I went to a circus.
Oh, a circus. What did you see?
Well, I see a giraffe.
A giraffe? What was your reaction?
I got it.
Well, tell me, Mr. Moody, how do you feel about this horse meat business?
I begin it.
Well, why?
I see a fellow one time caught a brewery horse in a beef stew.
Well, how did you know it was a brewery horse?
Beef stew had a head on it.
Well, have you personally ever eaten any horse meat?
No, I almost did twice.
What was the first time?
Well, I went up to New York to get a new snap put on the garbage.
Yes?
I got hungry. I went into a place called the Automat.
Uh-huh.
I see they were selling horse meat, so I come right out.
Now, wait a minute. That's ridiculous, Mr. Moody. The Automat wouldn't think of selling horse meat.
No. Then why was the whole place filled with them little perimutual windows?
What was your other close call?
I went into a French case.
Yes?
And took one look at the menu and I run.
What made you think the French case was the French restaurant? What made you think the French restaurant was selling horse meat?
Right on top of the menu?
Yes?
It said horses too, but... Come on,
Titus doesn't look like the order of type to me, I guess. I wonder who lives next door now.
No.
Mrs. Nussbaum, did you have a nice vacation?
All summer I'm commuting this nation. I'm writing poems all kinds.
Writing poems, huh?
Why so fickle, little fickle?
A poem?
It's no joke to be an oak.
Oh, that sounds very good. Now, what about people eating horse meat?
I'm also writing a horse meat poem.
What is it called?
Without Remorse.
Without Remorse. How does it go?
I couldn't teach without remorse a horse. You could say, go eat a bear. I'm eating the bear. I wouldn't care. You could say, go eat a moose. I'm eating the moose. What the deuce? But when you are saying, go eat a horse, I couldn't eat without remorse a horse. I couldn't bite a piece of lung, knowing inside could be a pony. At the butcher's block, I couldn't dicker for a sirloin cut for my friend's liquor. So down with eating horses. Alone I am fighting the trend. Being served up as a potro, is this an end for man's best friend? Thank you.
Somebody
off
me, somebody off.
Now look,
I'm from the name of Senator Clark. I'm from so far south, if I take one step backward, I'm a Mexican.
You and the South.
Yeah, I think the South is running the world, son.
The South?
Who's running England? One of the Robert E. Lee boys. Aunt Lee. Who's running Russia? Joe Stalin, a Georgia boy. And who's running China? China, I'll wait for the musicians. Who's running China? T.B. Sung.
T.D. Sung is from the South.
What do you think them initials stand for, son?
T.D.?
Tennessee Valley. Tennessee's in the South.
But Senator...
Well, speak up, son. Well, say hey, what's on your mind. You can talk. You ain't here, everyone.
Senator, how does Washington feel about people eating horse meat?
I called for a committee this morning.
Good.
Paul Porter was in the house.
I see.
Porter, that's a joke. Wait a minute, son. You're just slow to catch on. Subnormal, that is.
Now, wait a minute. You old fossil, what about people eating horse meat?
Down south, I say, down south, we eat anything we can overtake. Lemon with me. Never know when I might overtake a famine.
Going up to sea. But tell me, what about horse meat up north?
Oh, you know what, son? Them Yankees will start eating each other.
Yankees will eat each other?
If they'll eat horse meat, they'll eat jackass meat. Go on!
Well, you like Senator Claghorn?
Now I know what they mean when they refer to the mouth of the Mississippi.
There's the picker. It's more information on the Allen program.
More? How can you get all that in 15 minutes?
Allen's program runs a half an hour each week.
A half an hour? Then you and I have only 15 minutes per hour broadcast.
Oh, yes, I'm afraid it's so.
A whole half hour. I must do a broadcast soon on the remarkable stamina of the American radio listener.
Please, H.V., I'm reading the treasure.
Sorry.
Through a usually well-informed source, it was learned that on the first program, the sensational Five DeMarcos, accompanied by Al Goodman and his orchestra, will sing Blue Sky.
Hello? More music, I hope.
No, next there is a commercial.
Some solvent responsible firm allows its name to be identified with this sort of thing?
Yes, Alan's sponsor has Tenderleaf tea. Without fear of contradiction, Alan's announcer states, the year-round in all kinds of weather, the all-purpose. That's how the show goes, H.V. A brisk commercial. Some more of Mr. Goodman's music.
Confidentially, Lord, I'm beginning to realize there's more to radio than I suspected.
Here's the late bulletin. It sounds momentous.
What else can happen? Are they going to make Alan queen for a day?
No. It says, Mr. Allen's feature presentation will be a tribute to medical science. It's the story of the latest triumph of modern men in white.
Forward! Ever forward pledged the relentless march of medical science. At the 1946 medical convention, the delegates cheered as medicine's newest discoveries were listed. Penicillin, sulfa drugs, and vitamin B flat. Dr. Axel Sven-Holstein of Vienna arose and announced that after 20 years of research on the four-way cold tablet, he had added one more way. Dr. Hauserman of the bicarbonate clinic demonstrated his new cure for hiccups. But as the men of science left the convention, they spoke of only one man, Dr. Mayor Pasteur Allen, the genius who performed the surgical miracle of our time. We bring you the story of Dr. Allen's great triumph. Operation, operation.
I am Dr. Mayo Pasteur Allen. My life has been dedicated to medical science. I began in Boston as a horse and buggy doctor. Ah, those were happy days. Doctoring horses and fixing buggies. Then came the turning point in my life on truth or consequences after being slugged with three custard pies. For being such a good sport, I was given a four-year scholarship at Johns Hopkins. After graduating, I interned in six Dr. Kildare pictures. Gradually, my name became known in medical circles. It was I who encouraged Nick Kenny's sister to become a nurse. Today, Sister Kenny is perhaps better known than Nick. Little did I suspect that I would perform the operation that would make me the toast of medical science. One morning, as I entered the hospital, over the amplifier I heard...
Dr. Allen,
I was wanted in surgery. Buffing my spatula and flexing my stethoscope, I opened the door of the operating room. The greatest surgeons of the country stood there. Their heads were bowed. Mingled with the formaldehyde, I detected suspense in the air. That grand old man, the dean of American medicine, rushed up to me. Grasping me by the metacarpus, he said,
Dr. Allen, yes, my boy, you come just in time.
Yes, Dr. Gillespie.
The patient is ready for surgery, and not one of these men has enough space in his shield to attempt the operation.
Well, Doctor,
the future of medical science depends on the success of this operation. You alone can perform this operation. What do you say?
What do I say? I shall do it, Dr. Gillespie.
Good luck, son.
Thank you. I wasn't ready, but I was rushed into the ready room. Quickly, they prepared me for the delicate task ahead. Operation, operation. Nurses bustled about me.
Your apron, doctor.
Thank you.
Your rubber glove, doctor.
Thank you.
Your mask, doctor.
Thank you.
Your rabbit foot, doctor.
Good. Hand me that can of ether. I am ready. They let me into the operating theater. The tension was frightening. In the galleries looking down on me were the keenest medical minds. Dr. IQ. Dr. Townsend. Dr. Pepper with his cap on. To assist me, I have chosen three surgeons, the greatest of our time. Dr. Gunther Gall of Cleveland, the great authority on athlete's foot. Dr. Felix Strum, the famed mad butcher of Baltimore. And Dr. Miles Pipple, the house physician at Belmont Park. As I nervously adjusted my big momonometer, they pleaded.
Oh, man, Dr. Allen, you sent surgery back 2,000 years. Give it up, Dr. Allen. There's still time.
I scoffed at them. I rolled up my sleeves, spit on my rubber gloves. And then the door slowly opened. Noiselessly, they wheeled in the operating table. And on that table, so still, so tiny, the patient. The lights blazed down on that still, white form. There was a hush. Then a nurse murmured in my ear,
"We're ready for you, Doc."
Beads of sweat were forming on my zygomatic process. As I advanced to the table, I concentrated. Took a deep breath and began. Scalpel.
Scalpel.
Forceps.
Forceps.
Sponge.
Sponge.
Brillo.
Brillo.
Mop.
Mop.
Yeah, he's removing the attenuata. He's cutting the trigonophilia.
Alan, stop before it's too late.
But I didn't stop. I extracted the quadrivalvus from quadrivalvus. I extracted the elater, the ganglia. I closed the incision and then, and only then, did I step back exhausted. The operation was over. The gallery broke out in cheers. Medical giants pressed my hand. Others wept openly. I looked down on that still white form. The first cigarette in history that medical science had proved positive. I had removed everything. Here, finally, was a cigarette that wasn't a treat, a cigarette that wasn't a treatment, a cigarette that wasn't even a cigarette. This, then, is my story. South America, take it away.
How did you like that, H.B.? Wasn't that thrilling?
No, old man. Forgive me for saying so. But in my estimation, you're getting soft.
There's the ticker again. The story is coming in. It's a message from the sponsors. Well, we've been down Allen's Alley on our first tour of this... Me, I guess that's the big news of the week. The Fred Allen Show comes back on the air tonight. A half hour of fun and music.
A whole half hour, and a sponsor pays for this.
He does. And I imagine good money, too.
I must say this taxes my credulity.
Why shouldn't this tax your credulity? Everything else is taxed.
If you will pardon an observation, that was extremely humorous.
Oh, H.B., it was nothing.
Nothing? Why, that was funnier than anything that Fred Allen said all night.
Oh, don't come, H.B.
And he gets big money for being not as funny as you, Lord. It is a matter of public record that I'm not funny mad. But when I see an easy dollar lying around...
H.B., are you thinking what I'm thinking?
What are we waiting for?
Now, I have a little amusing something here. I say to you, who's on first?
What?
Us what? Who's on first?
I'm asking you, who's on first?
And I'm telling you who. Who's on? Telling you who.